You're listening to Zero Hour, a Scarlet Rhapsody podcast. Hey everyone, welcome to Zero Hour. I am Jared. I am hosting this episode. It is episode 101. Check out our episode 100, Call of Cthulhu Spectacular. It is amazing. I am DM, and I am best DM. I have claimed it. With me, if you can hear the laughter in the background, is Stan and Deb.
NXT! 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 I'm sorry, what were we talking about again?
What? Yeah.
We have some very bizarre adventures from Stan Lee's L.A. Kamikaze Con Expo.
I usually call it the con formerly known as Kamikaze.
Yeah. So for those who don't know, about a month before Kamikaze was supposed to happen, they changed its name to Stan Lee's L.A. Comic Con, which is fine. It just seems really weird to change something a month ahead of time. Normally when a con changes its names, or it's going to change its location, or its dates, or whatever, it's usually announced at closing ceremonies, sometimes hinted at opening ceremonies. But a month ahead of schedule would make for massive confusion. Obviously, this was a marketing ploy, because probably putting the word Comic-Con there draws in more people than saying Kamikaze, but they still kept the weird octopus image, which makes no sense to me.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra. I guess that's what it is.
You can change the name, but you can never change the cost.
And the guest list, I think in and of itself, should draw in a lot of people. There was people from, you had a reunion, a few of the Batman people. You had some Trek people. You had
Netflix people.
You had some Firefly people. You had, gosh, I know there's about 20 other things if I thought about it long enough.
I mean, you talk about, 20-to-1 media to comic book guest ratio. Like, that's literally because Mark Silvestri was there, but that's about it.
There's a couple of people there from Top Cow, I think. I'm fairly certain Matt Hopkins probably showed up for a
Rob
day.
Rob Liefeld
was there.
Rob Liefeld practically lives there, okay? Let's face it.
Yeah, well, I still want to get something signed by him just because I want something signed by him. I want to have that up on my wall as motivation. If Rob Liefeld can do it, so can I. And then, yeah, your comic listings were really, really slim. They used to have more authors and stuff, too. There were, no authors. There was maybe one author there. A handful of screenwriters who were kind of more there to do panels than actually, booth or anything. So, majority of your guests are TV people. I think that people there from, Arrow and Flash.
Luke Cage.
Oh, yeah, Luke Cage people there, too. Yeah. So, if you're there to see TV or movie people, that's probably your best con outside. It is your best because San Diego Comic-Con might have more people, but good luck getting in. Good luck getting an autograph. Good luck getting into one of their panels. This one is a lot easier. The lines for most people for autographs weren't too bad. At least that I saw. You guys see any of the lines be crazy?
Maybe on the Adam West side. West side was crazy. Outside of that, not as much. But you also have to keep in mind that those Netflix guest center you mentioned, mm-hmm. The people from Netflix and what have you, they weren't in there for the autograph. They were there strictly for the panel. So naturally, the line for those people don't exist. So we can't really determine whether the line would have been big or not. It should have been big, but since they didn't have one, we don't know.
Yeah, a few things they did this year that were kind of smart was to move the main stage. It's still in the dealer hall, which I have very mixed feelings about, but they moved it to a place where it's not causing major lane traffic anymore. And that, I like.
Yeah, they moved it all the way to the right side.
Yes. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about, it blocking people, especially when, Stan Lee or something is doing a Q&A panel up there, or I think that's where they did the Netflix people, I think, were up there, mm-hmm. And a few others. of the big name people, that's where they did the panel, so that you don't have to worry about the waiting in line 3 hours to get into the panel room to then be told, oh, we ran out of room like 20 people ago. Yeah, screw you. No, you can just mob that stage. So that does kind of work for that, in my opinion.
The one curious thing I had was that each of those panels in the main stage was just 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's really short, and I think the reason they did that is probably twofold. One, because that's so they could get some guests to agree to it. Two, they're assuming people are standing room only, and maybe they're like, oh, people won't stand for an hour, to which I go, you don't know nerds. They will stand for 3 hours if the panel's interesting enough, or it's someone they really want to hear talk about their experiences on doing a Netflix show or writing a comic book or whatever.
And depending on the people, before standing for 3 hours, they will sleep outside the con for 5 hours.
Yeah, there's some insanity that can go down. So the 30-minute panels feel really just kind of short and almost like, why is... Yeah, not even worth your wait, because you're going to get like four questions. You yourself won't have a question. The moderator will have like 3 or 4 questions for Stan Lee or Adam West or whatever, and then it's done.
Show the clip and done.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
And so it's just... Yeah.
It just feels so weird, and I don't particularly like it. I can see the reason behind it, as you said. I get it. But I don't particularly like it as a con-goer. I've never been to a con where they have like 30 minutes panel and be like, boop, done, get out.
Yeah. I can think of one con that actually had a room that was made up of 30-minute panels. We never went into that room. And I'm not going to say the name of that con. We've already done that episode. But the main rooms themselves, they had, God, what, 5, 6 rooms?
Let's see. Are you talking about the regular
panel rooms?
The regular panel rooms? Oh, yeah, there were about...
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, let's see.
At least 6.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Just about 6, yeah.
Yeah. And none of those rooms, at least the panels we went to, I know you guys hit some things I didn't hit. Very few of them ever got super packed.
No.
The only one I know, Deb and I both went to Writing for Animation. That one had standing room only.
Yeah.
I was one of the standers.
Oh, wow. Really? It was that packed?
It was a very small room, if I recall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it got a little crazy cramped, and luckily, they were offering seats on front, so...
Holy cow!
I was one of them,
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But other stuff you thought might have a larger crowd really didn't. And some of the stuff I went to was weird. Like, I went to a panel about the... they were promoting a movie called Tar, which is like a horror movie taking place at the La Brea Tar Pits. They were also, like, webcasting it, so I'm like, all right, cool. But that panel, I was like one of like 8 people in there, and I'm like,
aww.
And I went in there because I wanted to go to the panel after it, actually, and I just got there early, and I was like, nope, see what this Tar thing's about. And nothing against the people in there. They really seem to care about their project, and I'm just like, yeah, because no one knows what this is, because Tar doesn't tell you anything about the movie, and if you just see Tar, the panel, Tar the movie, the panel, or something like that was the title, and I was just like, alright.
Why do I get the feeling this movie's gonna be very trollish, you know?
I think it's gonna be like tongue-in-cheek horror.
Okay.
If you're putting it in the La Brea tar pits, I mean, what are you gonna get? Like dinosaur skeletons attacking people or something? I mean, yeah, you have some limitations there, but I think
Hey man, never underestimate the dinosaur bones, okay? They've been biding their time for a long, long time.
I feel it's very much gonna be an asylum movie, and I think that'll be fine. Mm.
Sherlock Holmes versus dinosaurs? Oh, yeah. Man.
Sherlock Holmes versus dinosaurs. Mansquito, I think, was an asylum flick.
But anyways.
Yeah. Moving on. It was interesting seeing some of that kind of stuff. There was only one panel that pissed us off this time. Bravo, one panel. That was a self-promotions panel, which we're like, oh, cool. You know, we have a website. We got, you know, our web streams and stuff like that. We'd love to hear some tips from people who succeeded. You guys succeeded in quotations, and your advice is use social media. Well, whoop-de-frickin'-do. Thanks for that advice, losers.
And buy our stuff.
Yeah, the problem with this, the whole panel, was that relying on the social media is only half the equation. You can't run the ball with just half the equation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the worst part about using the social media is that they keep changing algorithm.
It's the worst.
It is. So this panel had to keep updating itself, and I feel like they didn't update, you know, how to counteract against the ever-changing algorithm.
Yeah, without paying a bunch of money.
Yeah.
God.
it's one of those panels that feels like the way to get popular is to be popular. And then after that, everything works out.
Excuse me, I have a question. Yeah, I don't have a lot of friends, so am I screwed? Probably, yes.
So, that panel was a waste. But any panel that was run by professionals, be them film professionals or writing professionals, those ones worked out pretty well. And it's a really cool place to kind of attempt some networking and stuff. And I attempted a little bit of networking myself as a writer. Mm-hmm. I was like, talking to professionals face-to-face, one-on-one, that's a rare opportunity if you're... And if you're an artist, highly recommend that. They don't have a lot of comic book artists there, but you're going to be the one person in line.
Or at the very least, you hear the stories.
You know, the stories.
The one panel you actually kind of was fascinated was with a Clive Barker panel that you took us to.
Yeah.
And we got more than we bargained for.
Yeah.
For me, I was like hoping Clive Barker was going to be there despite not being on the guest list. Of course, that made me sad face. But then you're hearing them talk about, you know, the film projects, you're hearing them talk about the comics, you're hearing them talk about the artwork and all this other stuff that I had no idea he had his fingers in so many pies. No clue.
Yeah.
And it's really cool hearing about all that kind of stuff and getting the original original Pinhead to do that promotion for Hellraiser Anthology is amazing.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine, like, if Clive Barker was just secretly there, no one noticed it until, like, just right behind you go, like, hello, Jared.
I was British, but yeah.
Hello, Jared.
I remember you when I met you back when you were in high school.
You forgot your pen.
And this puzzle. I hope you can put it together. Oh, thanks for the puzzle. Wait a second. So
that was a super cool panel.
It really was.
Yeah. I was just like, great, my interest on Hellraiser got interesting again. Like,
movies are boring and is all else.
Oh man.
Yep.
I really want to read those comics now, though. Yeah. It's like, oh my god, I need to find reprints.
Some of the stories sounds pretty interesting and messed up, so.
Ooh. And there was another panel you guys went to, writing in the animation, I believe?
Yeah.
I didn't go to that one because I was tending other stuff, but how did that go?
That was pretty cool. They told some stories about just working in the industry. Mm-hmm. I liked their stuff they tried to get away with past the censors.
That's always fun.
One of the writers wrote for Drawn Together.
Oh shit, really?
And he had a story about a couple of his episodes that he got in trouble for.
Oh, wait, Drawn Together getting in trouble? Well, really?
I know, shocked. One of them that never aired, I guess I'll share his story. It's really screwed up, but it's Drawn Together, folks, so just grain of salt. The princess basically gets pregnant from God, and then she goes to get an abortion. That was one of his premise ideas that never got made.
Look, keep in mind, Drawn Together is messed up. Like, it can be fun series, but it's bloody messed up.
Oh, yeah. The other one that he got in trouble for, but they eventually aired it, was the one where Captain Hero becomes a paraplegic.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that episode's messed up. So he got in trouble with that one because right when they're about to air it, Christopher Reeve died. Which, I'm like, man, like, one, horrible timing, but two, God, this episode is so freaking offensive. So you got stories like that. I mean, you got other people who worked on, like, real Ghostbusters and, you know, children's cartoons like Curious George and what have you. So you have enough of a variety there, but I'm like, you get that kind of extreme, Drawn Together stuff, all the way to, like, I've done some shows for little kids, and... We'll have, like, a line in there that's just, like, seems perfectly tame, and they're totally worried that could warp a child or whatever. And they talked about, you know, just about not being a dick, really. I think that came up a couple times. About the importance of having spec scripts and stuff like that. And a few little talks about networking opportunities, which Deb and I both took notes about.
Oh, yes.
Like I said, this is a con where you can get those opportunities, which is really awesome.
Yeah, I mean... I think outside of that, you know, the promotion con you mentioned, like I have not gone to bad like panels. Like, there's a one panel I went to. You guys didn't go because you know I kind of went in there impromptu. Is Voice Nano, where the voice actors kind of redub their own role.
Huh.
And it was amazing. One of the voice actors was a Fred Charles Theory who voiced Hulk and currently Soldier 76.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Awesome. Oh, he dubs his own, like, role as a Hulk. Like, you know, he does, like, Hulk, raw, and all that, like, all the, you know, roaring and stuff, right? And then panelists will be like, oh, yeah, that was great. Now, let's try, okay, let's make Hulk a little more softer, you know, because you know how they do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know how they do it, the voice acting, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the recasting and what have you, or rather, revision the role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, one of the things in American style animation that they'll have you do is it's like, okay, here's the line. Oh, we do it three different emotional styles is one of the things they'll do a lot of the times. So it's, you know, it's a whole like, get over here, get over here, get over here. You know, they'll have them do stuff like that. It A, as an exercise, and B, because they're like, oh no, I kind of like him being annoyed and stuff like that. Let's change the scene about, and your character's super annoyed at having to, like, get this guy who keeps running away from you or whatever. You know, you can have those little changes because they're making the animation as they're doing the voiceover and stuff versus, you know, pre-existing, something that pre-exists. Or, say, you know, a video game wherein they've already done so much of the rendering, to ask them to change the scene would make a game designer punch someone in the face, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, in this case, the panel really took that to the extreme. For instance, voice actor for Marco from the Star vs. the Force of Evil was there.
Oh!
I'm so sorry, Jared.
That's okay.
Yeah. And he did one of the Marco scene where he just went like, he just went to start with like psychology, you know, that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he did that role, and after he did, you know, voice acting, and panelists were like, oh, that's great. Now, since Marco is Hispanic, can we make him a little more urban? Can we turn him into, reformated, you know, Cholo? Oh, and can we make him older too? You know, like, they just tossed, like, this curveball at him like crazy, mm-hmm. and he would pull off an amazing, just like, the next role, the next take, he would go like, psychology! Orale! Psychology! And everyone just busted out laughing.
Oh, I'm so sad that I missed that.
I'm sorry, yeah. I've had that in my mind for a while, because...
yeah, you didn't tell us about that before. You didn't tell me, at least.
Because I don't know why I forgot about it. I just remembered it, like, on the day of, you know?
Mm.
So, and then after looking at the, you know, panel list, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that was a thing, too.
Yeah.
Crap.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I have my list of notes right here under stuff. So, and I've just was working on the report, so I have things a little bit more fresh in my mind. One of the panels that was pretty cool, but it was titled wrong, was Haunted LA. I really wanted to hear about haunted locations in Los Angeles, or Hollywood, and whatever, the whole greater Southern California area, and instead we got stories of, like, from Wisconsin and stuff. And some of the most terrifying EVP I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, Jesus, oh God, oh.
And I'm not...
Oh,
yeah. No, you can believe in that or you cannot believe in that, but hearing those things will freak you the hell out.
Like, I'm going to tell you this, man. Like, my brain just went cold listening to that. It's just, like, unbelievable. And I know a lot of people, like, there's like a skepticism about the EVP, whatever, take it as you will, but the sound itself is freaking crazy.
Yeah. Whatever causes it, that is not the point. The point is what it sounds like is terrifying.
Yeah.
It was run by the American Paranormal Association, and if it just it was called the American Paranormal Association panel, I'd have been perfectly fine with it. But I'm like, man, I want to hear you guys talking about, oh, we went to this old hotel, or we went to this old mansion, or, you know, oh, if you go over to, you know, in San Bernardino, there's a graveyard or a hospital or something like that would have been really nice. Like, I don't care. Give me a San Diego story. Give me a Santa Cruz story. You know, we can go both ends of what I can consider Southern California, and I'm fine with it, but it's just like, here's a Wisconsin story, here's a New York story, here's a Chicago story, and I'm like, thanks, guys, but the title of the panel is Haunted LA, and the moderator should have known better and should have said, let's hear about some Southern California hauntings you guys have studied.
I think it's a poor choice on their panel title, because I think what happened is that, I'm just guessing here, but they wanted to take, like, the name LA, you know, LA Comic Con of LA, they want to, like, capitalize on that and just call it, Haunted LA.
Yeah.
Well, we're in LA, you know, we're having a panel, so here, our panel is called LA. You guys like that, right? Problem is,
No, that's not how the panel naming works. Yeah. It never does, and it never will.
Yeah, and like I said, that's my only issue with that panel is just the title of it. Because it's kind of a downer when I want to hear about, like, this, oh, here's this restaurant from the 20s, and you can, if you, or here's our EVP of it, where you hear people, like, laughing and, like, singing or something, and I'm like, oh, whoa, that's pretty cool.
I mean, you could even talk about the Cecil Hotel, you know?
Yeah, the Cecil Hotel would be a great one, but they didn't really go into any of that stuff, and, you know, what you gonna do?
Yeah.
But overall, panels are really strong at this con. Now, granted, I chose my list off of stuff that looked interesting to me, and I know, you know, you just kind of wandered a little bit, Stan.
Just a bit, yeah.
And so, you know, that's going to change things up a little bit versus if you're going to have... I mean, they had a panel, they had a bunch of cosplay panels that none of us went to because they're going to be run by people who we've never heard of and don't care about. And one of the panels is called Cosplaying for People Over 30. So those people can go straight to hell. They cannot pass go. They cannot collect $200. They will go straight to hell. And let's go for a Marvel reference here. And Mephisto can torture them internally and externally and forever and ever.
Eternally.
Eternally as well, yes. Internally, externally, and eternally.
See, that rhymes now.
There we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry. Saying that, like, oh, we need to have a panel to tell, quote, old people how to cosplay. Screw you. Anyone can cosplay at any age. And by the way, there's variations of so many characters that if you're an old man of gray hair, there is a Superman variation for that.
There's easily a Wolverine variation.
Wolverine. Oh my god, I'd love to see an old man Logan. That'd be amazing. So, yeah, dickhead cosplayers doing dickhead panels that I have no interest in.
Yeah, I mean, it was really like, when you look at the list, it's like a 50-50 of that, you know? Mm-hmm. Thankfully, you know? Thankfully, because...
Yes.
Because when the cons are strong, when the panels are strong, the panels were strong, you know?
Yes.
So there's that.
But I'm sure when the panels were bad, they were bad. There was even an Asuka character in there. I'm hoping that was aimed towards kids, but I don't think it was.
Was it Asuka Barney? Because, you know, that's the only one I'll accept.
Well, because I think at Long Beach Comic Con one year had a whole, like, Asuka hero, and it was in the kids' room.
Okay.
So, you have, like, Superman and stuff, and Batman, like, answering questions for, like, 10-year-olds or whatever, or younger than that, and that's fine. I'm perfectly fine with being a face character at a con. I'm not fine when it's, you know, it was Ask Super Hulock. That's what it was.
Oh.
Ask Super Hulock. That panel can also, like, burn in agony. I don't need that crap at my con. I'm sorry. I don't know how that made it through. That seems like one of those things that should have been filtered out a long, long, long ago. There's also some panel we walked past where they're, like, doing some sort of... the other part of it. There's a lot of, like, improv groups. One of the ones I walked past on day two, they were, like, singing Rocky Horror songs, but all the references were made into Doctor Who references.
How the freaking... What?
Well, because you can do Let's Do the Time Warp, but then have the lines do, like, Dalek to the left, Cyberman to the right, and stuff like that. It was dumb. But there was a lot of those, and I didn't realize there's that many nerd-themed improv troops. I understand when, like, Random Encounters shows up, because I've seen them show up to a bunch of cons,
well,
and whatever.
Yeah.
They're fine. I know people in Random Encounters. I have nothing against them. I'm not an improv comedy person, but I'm fine for Random Encounters. But, like, every third panel in, like, one of the listings was just all these groups, and I'm like, where did all these pop up from? Who are these people? So, again, if you're into improv comedy, there's a lot of options. I don't know how good they are. That singing Rocky Horror songs with Doctor Who references was stupid, but I don't know, maybe the rest of that show is better. I hate those kinds of musicals. Like, I always say the jumping the shark point on any TV series is when they have the musical episode. So, that's my feelings on that one. Again, mileage might vary. But I think is that about everything we could say about panels?
Yeah, because I don't think we've gone to a lot of panels.
Yeah, we haven't gone to a lot, honestly.
We can get back to the dealer hall. What did you guys think of the dealer hall?
It's gotten bigger.
It gets a little confusing.
It does. Like, even if they have the numbers up, you know, the fact is that, like, it's because it's so huge and how they laid out is also kind of confusing.
I have such an issue with the numbering system. I really, where it's like, oh, we're in section 627, booth, you know, B23. And I'm like, what? I'm like, I understand what it means, but I mean, you don't need the booths should just be booth numbered. I like the idea that they had, like, the booths that were, like, dealer booths, the booths that were, you know, artist booths.
Oh, they actually separated
that,
yeah.
Yeah, they did separate that. Yeah. But it just gets so confusing when you're trying to figure out the map and trying to figure out where to go. I've been to a couple cons, smaller cons and larger cons, that have, like, Anime Boston does this in their Artist Alley, where they name all, they make all the aisles are named after something that's a reference. So, like, this year, they were all referenced to Otsumatsu stuff.
Okay.
So you could go down various streets named after the characters. Mm-hmm. So if you were promoting your booth, you say, oh, we're on Jusimatsu Street, booth number 6, or whatever. And, you know, there, you memorize Jusimatsu, easy to remember, booth number 6, easy to remember, you go.
Wow.
I think for a small con that works, but since this con has...
But Anime Boston isn't small. That's the thing. It's a pretty decent sized car. It's equal to, if not larger, than Fanime.
Is it bigger? Is it as big as, you know, LA Comic Con?
That's a hard call. Probably not. That dealer hall was large, but again, you could divide off to the sec. I don't know. I feel like it'd be organized. Now, the booths were together, so that I'm not arguing the booths being disorganized. I'm arguing the numbering system being confusing. That was my issue with the numbering system.
Yeah, the unfortunate fact is that the numbering system is pretty common, like starting from San Diego Comic Con all the way down to, like, whatever Fringe Con date they have.
Yeah, so it's probably where they got the idea.
Yeah, so that's not going to change anytime soon. But I agree, like, this particular con, it was a little more confusing for some reason, you know?
Yeah. Booth-wise, decent amount of merch. Nothing I wasn't looking for anything in particular. And usually my love of going to Comic Cons is I can find anime figures for pretty cheap, and I did find some pretty good deals on some Concoli figures. I just wasn't in, like, a buying mood. And they had a few trade booths. They had a few floppy booths. So you had your options on those too if you're into those, which is nice, because Long Beach Comic Con has long since gotten rid of their trade booths, with the exception of, like, Top Cow Image or Aspen or something like that. Like, one of the, unless the company has their own booth, don't go to, you know, a Long Beach Comic Con hoping to pick up that rare trade of Deadpool from the 80s. You're not going to find it. There's no Deadpool from the 80s. This is actually the key reason why you won't find that. Deadpool wasn't created until the 90s. But the point is, if you're looking for a Rob Liefeld Deadpool trade, you're not going to find it there.
Yeah, but this con, I mean, it had a lot of variety, you know, which is always good.
The layout was good. I wish the numbering system was better, but, you know, what you're going to do. The Jerky booth was there, which is always a huge hit, with our team especially.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that saved our ass.
That moment where the people, like, recognize you. I remember you guys! Yeah, we're here to pick up our jerky. That was pretty cool. There was a few anime booths, which kind of surprised me, because there's, like, the only anime programming was Funimation stuff. But I saw there was a Sentai Filmworks booth. I think there was a Funimation booth in there somewhere.
Yeah, there is.
And there was, like, a couple, like, ones that had generic anime DVD booths. I think I saw one or maybe two generic anime DVD booths. So
they're out there.
They're out there. It's not, don't come here looking to buy anime, but it is available for those who want it. Mm-hmm. And I guess missed out on picking up stuff at Expo or don't want to wait to PMX.
Yeah, but anyways, the con...
Dealer was decent.
Dealer was pretty nice. It was nice, you know. The artist alley was also nice.
It was pretty nice, actually.
And they actually had the autograph session where the main stage used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks a lot cleaner now. It's easier to navigate.
Yes.
Oh, it's so much easier to navigate.
And there was one minor problem, and it's not so much a problem, it's just a little bit confusing, is that when you get to, like, autograph booth number 50,
mm-hmm.
50-ish, it just cuts off right there. And so we were looking for 55, and it's just like, what the hell just happened? We turn around, 55 was, like, right there.
The other side of the aisle.
Yeah, the other side of the aisle. It was just a little bit confusing.
That's a little weird.
It's just a little weird. Look, it's not a huge issue, but glad we found it. But damn it, that was a little bit confusing.
Yeah,
so a little few minor fixes. Nothing, not that big of a deal, in my opinion. And then generally a good one. And look, if you're there not for panels and you're there to pick up, you know, hard-to-find comics or figures or autographs or whatever, You'll navigate pretty well. I mean, you'll be a little confused at first, and then you'll get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, that might be really kind of everything at the con. It's not like they have any real main events outside of that stage that we can really talk about.
You met anyone interesting, Jared?
I met some, like I said, I met some interesting writers I got the chance to talk with, but no one that would be a huge name. I know someone here got some autographs.
Oh my gosh.
Oh god.
Gosh,
we're getting there? All right.
Yeah, that's a freaking story. Okay, so this is a good one. I'm sorry. I'm still giggling. What the hell am I doing? What's wrong with me? Darren DePaul, voice actor for several characters. One, the major one being right now is Reinhardt from Overwatch. And it's okay. So, where was I? Yes, Darren DePaul, Reinhardt, Overwatch. He had a boost at 55. That's the part. That's the one that we got. That's that we got confused over. And I had to wait a bit because he had apparently he had a panel for Star Wars Rebel, and.
I've seen Rebels.
I forgot the name, but damn, he was in it. Like he was like a minor character.
We'll look it up. Later.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Okay. Yeah. So, had to wait. Deb, you had to go to that panel.
Yeah, I actually had to go to that animation panel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were at the writing panel at that time.
Yeah, the writing panel at the time.
Yeah. So, 4 o'clock, well, 4 or 5 actually, he comes back and there are several people, including me, waiting, and we just stand up and a dude was just ball of energy, like positivity, like all over, like crazy. You know, like he's so, like, it's like he's glad to see his grandsons or something, grandchildren or something. Aww. Like it was insane. And like, so one person got the autograph, went out, and then it was my turn. You know, I whipped out my Overwatch PS4 copy, and you were surprised because apparently I was the only one with actual physical copy of that game.
Well, the problem is, if you're playing on PC, you're probably just downloading it via Steam. But if you have a console, yeah, there's a higher chance of having that disc, but yeah, I guess the people who want a Reinhardt picture just had to, like, hopefully he had photos on his desk or something.
He did.
Yeah, okay, so you get the game photo and you get that signed, but yeah. Cooler to have the game signed.
Oh, no, it's way cooler. Are you kidding me, you know? And I also, while I was at, let's say, that bad panel that we discussed, I was drawing some Reinhardt stuff, because whatever, I got bored, okay?
Yeah, you know? We all should have left that earlier.
Yeah,
yeah, we should have.
But as soon as, like, dickish guy behind us was bugging about us riffing that panel, we should have just, well, one, we should have flipped him off, and then we should have just left.
Yeah.
Oh, no, two, we should have just RKO'd him, flip him off, and then we head out.
Yeah. Right, so, go on.
So, we were talking, because, and believe me when I say this, he is genuine. This dude is a gigantic nerd, and I mean that in an utmost respectable way. And he was just so passionate about Overwatch and the community, and it just like just brings a smile to your face. And then I show him the little doodle I did at that panel, and he was just like, oh my god, so great, can I sign it? He just straight up came up to me and said, like, can I sign it? I'm just like, okay. Because you understand how that feels.
Yeah.
You know? Like,
that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge.
And then he signed it, and it's like, oh my god. Like, I'm just like, oh my god, thank you so much. You know, actually, what I actually said was, can somebody call Winston and, you know, Tesla shock me? I think my heart just stopped, you know? And he just, I'm not kidding, he stepped out of his table and hugged me for it.
Aww.
And, like, I told these two, I think I almost cried. And Jared has this horrible look on his face, like, stand crying, holy sh...
I know. The world is making less sense to me now.
And that day, his heart grew 3 times.
Well, I think one of our running jokes we had during that con was sanity roll.
So, yes.
So that was one of my moments for that one when Stan said that to me, and I'm like, I gotta do a sanity roll, I'm sorry.
No, you haven't talked to him till the next day.
Yeah, we did talk to him the next day, and yeah, I was like, yeah, I'm a fan of Overwatch, but I'm like super excited about 15, and then he was so excited too. He was like, have you watched the movie? I'm like, dang it, not yet, but I wanted to, but I want to get the game for sure, because I want to support it.
And he even did the Arden voice.
He did the Arden voice, and I was like, oh my god. And then, you know, I didn't have anything, so I was like, look, I'll have one of the pictures signed. I'm willing to pay for it. And he's like, no, you don't really have to, because I don't want to, you know, make people pay for my autographs. And I'm like, oh my god.
Oh, that's so cool of him.
I was like, oh my god. But yeah, he was so super
Yeah,
he
even took a picture with you too.
Yeah, and we got a picture, and he gave us hugs.
It makes me feel bad that I didn't really explore the that section of the dealer hall. I was doing a lot of panel hopping. That just kind of because that's what I cover. So I didn't get to explore that section. It's so cool you guys have a story like that to tell. I wish I had a story like that to tell.
This is his first panel, so hopefully there will be more. And, you know, we love to meet him. And for those of you, you know, like still on the fence about meeting Darren DePaul, I hope this clears it up, okay? Go see him. Go talk to him, okay?
No, seriously, man. Yeah.
And as a point to other conventions out there, you want to draw in an audience? Get like 3 or 4 of the voice actors from Overwatch as your guests. And make sure to have an Overwatch panel and possibly an Overwatch After Dark panel. You need the one where they can just start dropping F-bombs as their characters. You just...
Universal would probably do that.
I know some of the actors would be significantly more difficult to get because they're not even local. They're not even in this country. But there's plenty of people. Matt Mercer's around and stuff like that. You have some options. And I think that'd be a huge draw. And I've met Matt Mercer before. He's a cool dude. So it's two we know they're cool dudes.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if I knew more of the cast list, I'm like, oh no, I met him too. He's cool. And so.
Of Kristen Freeman?
No, never mind. No. Don't invite him.
Oh no.
That douche nozzle should not be at any con.
Oh my gosh.
I knew you were going to do that.
Having said that. You know, so I think generally we have kind of a positive view on this con, and I think none of us went in feeling particularly positive about stuff.
No, we went in with kind of like a...
low expectation.
Well, I want to say below average expectation.
Yeah.
And I think this con did well enough to go above average, at the very least.
Yeah. There's definitely something you can find to do, whether, like you said, whether it's the guests, whether it's shopping, whether it's panels. There is something to do. I don't really know if you need to do 2 days of this con. I think you can get everything you need in 1 day and be fine.
1 day. I would say 1 day.
So, and while they do market themselves as a 3-day event, day one, Friday, is essentially what some other cons refer to as preview night. It's like the dealer hall is open from like 5 o'clock to like 8 o'clock. Yay. And most of the guests won't be there. Yay.
Well, at least they're well aware that you know, a lot of concourse will be at work.
Yeah, essentially that exists for if you just want to go here for shopping purposes, just get that Friday pass, show up, do your shopping for 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever you want to do, go home, and you don't have to worry about the con at all after that. That is an option, but I hate the fact that they market themselves as a 3-day event when that first day isn't really a day. And at least how I count a day. And to me, a day requires the guests are there, there's panels, not come here and buy stuff. And look, I've been to plenty of cons where day zero they had the preview night thing. Anime Vegas, years ago, used to do that. And it was always kind of cool, because I got my shopping done day one, and then I moved on with life. Or day zero, and I moved on, and I could enjoy the rest of the con.
I mean, look, as long as it's not, you know, them at LA Comic Con saying, like, you know, hey, day one, we have great extra beginner, you know, at least they're aware that, yeah, day one is kind of preview, so come in and, you know, chill after work, hard days, whatever you know you need it, you know. They're not lying to themselves or anyone for that matter, so it's okay, I guess, in my book.
And they have a couple con exclusives for the shoppers out there, mostly posters made by the guests, some of which have shown up in other cons, and they also had a few, they had the Colossus and She-Hulk figures that have shown up at a couple other cons as well. Mm-hmm. The She-Hulk looks adorable.
Yeah, it looks adorable.
So
it got sold out, though.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That made me sad.
I can't say I'm surprised, but wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, while we did come into low expectations, I think we all kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, next year, if there's a guest you want to see or a panel you want to hit, check out probably just a 1 day of this con. And I guess before I wrap up, I got the general idea that most of the attendees there were pretty chill. I didn't interact with many of the attendees, but it seemed like most of them were pretty chill. I didn't feel like people were being a jerk to me while I was trying to go around. Did you guys have any attendees issues?
No.
No, not really.
Not that I know of.
We just never interacted with them.
Yeah,
so at the very least, the attendees aren't going to bother you except for that one jerk in the panel we didn't want to be in. Other than that one guy, everything else was cool. So check it out. And I'm not sure what our next event will probably be CatsaCon. It'll be KrakenCon, and that'll be coming up later this month.
Does it come with gazebo?
No, KrakenCon doesn't come with gazebo, but it does come with a side of fries.
Fries.
So, until next time, and our phones are blowing up, so we gotta wrap this up quickly. This is Jared for Stan and Deb saying, we'll see you at the con.